You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks again for joining us here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Well, brothers and sisters, it's time we talked about kindness, right? Let's think about kindness. Some positive vibes out there in the radio for you today. You know, we need to think kindness. We need to think and contemplate kindness. Here's a sweet little prayer. Dear Lord, help my mind and heart to think only healthy, happy, and holy thoughts for myself and others. Without you, I know how convenient it is to indulge in petty and negative thoughts. Help me to forgive others and help others to forgive me. Without you, I know how difficult it is to forgive 77 times, taken from Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, as you recommend. Help me to be kind. Without you, I know how easy it is to project my hurt and resentment on others, and grant me the grace to allow you to think in me at any moment and in any situation of my life. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, in Scripture, Proverbs, in my little Bible here, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. My goodness, our tongue is one powerful, powerful weapon. Oh my gosh, brothers and sisters, it can help someone. You can lift that person out of the doldrums, out of just being so unhappy and so like as if the world has just completely shut down for them. Or you can bring them to a place of darkness through our words. Our words, our tongue is very powerful. They go hand in hand, our thoughts and our words. Words provide a system of symbols, right? And rules that facilitates our thinking, right? And needless to say, thoughts and words are connected. And some experts think that they're one and the same. Our words embody our thoughts, right? Define our being, determine the quality of our everyday lives, and allow us to communicate with one another. Well, you, I'm sure, have experienced somewhere along the line where you've got up one morning, you had to go to work or wherever you had to do, and you are feeling pretty darn good. You know, you looked in the mirror and you thought, you know what? I don't look so bad. I look pretty good, and I'm happy, and I'm healthy, and away I go. And somebody you meet that maybe knows you, a friend or an acquaintance, and says, oh, are you feeling okay? You look a little tired today. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes that just zaps the energy right out of you. And you're thinking, what? What do you mean I look tired? I thought I looked pretty good. I thought I was all right, you know, and right away that kind of negativity sets into us. It's amazing, brothers and sisters, that when someone tells us something nice, you know, they'll say, oh, you did a really good job here, or you know, you've been very generous, you're very kind, you did a wonderful thing, or whatever, you know, some positiveness, we seem to slough it off. And yet, when someone says something negative to us, and it doesn't have to be very big, It's amazing how we cling to that for the rest of the day. Isn't that incredible? We cling to the thing that's negative, that drains us. We pay attention to the negativity instead of the positive thoughts or words that have come from others. That is something we need to all, including myself, have to work on. You know, words contribute to the wholeness of life and to its meaning. They can deceive, just as I said, or they can build. And you have to think, are we the problem or are we a solution to someone? Are we bringing darkness to them or are we bringing light to them? That's really important, brothers and sisters, because you know, what you reap, what you sow, you reap. You know, if you've always had a very negative kind of attitude or always worrying, guess what? You're gonna receive that kind of worry. You're gonna worry again and again and again, and it's just like a vicious cycle. But you have to break that, and you break it through the grace of God, because we can't do this by ourselves. None of this that I talk about is something that we can do completely by ourselves. We can work on this, definitely, and it's doable, but it's through also, it's important to have Jesus at the forefront and going through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, asking the Holy Spirit to help you. That's really important when we do this. You know, there is something permanent about the words we use, right? When we sow seeds and walk away from them, well, nature takes over, allowing its own being to evolve. But so too the words we sow in our being and in others. The words we speak or think are like the seeds. Once they're planted, sooner or later, they will appear, right? Words have the capacity to refer us to the sacred. Their importance for religions seems crucial. In Christianity, for example, in the Gospel of John, he begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Right? In Islam, it is taught that the Quran is the literal Word of God. We cannot exist without words, and we cannot exist without air. Words fill our lives through speech, through reading and writing and listening. Right? They carry a great potential, a potential for good or a potential for evil. Jesus advised us on this matter by saying, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." And then he says in Matthew 12, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Our tongue, my dear friends, is powerful, right? And expresses what we think, right? Even as parents, what we say to our children, how we scold them, how we talk to them. Is it in a respectful, gentle manner, trying to explain to them why this rule exists in the house or whatever it is? It's very important what and how we project ourselves to our children. Because guess what? They're, for us, we are their models. We're their role model. That's where they're coming from. They're looking at us. And they will mimic what they hear and say and do from watching us. And if we are going to be careful about that kind of thing, that's very important that we realize that we are all God's children. God brought us into the world, and we are to take care of one another. We're not to be sitting there deciding to show pettiness to them or showing any kind of always complaining, that show them the flip side of that and showing them what it is to be grateful, what it is to forgive someone, what it is to be joyful, what it is to be trusting, what it is to be hopeful, right? That's what we're looking for, brothers and sisters. Our words are so important. So With the tongue, our tongue is powerful and expresses what we think, right? With the tongue, we bless the Lord, right? We bless the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you, blessed God. Praise you, Almighty Father. And then we get in the car and someone cuts you off. And then what comes out of the mouth? Profanity, right? What comes out of the mouth? From the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. Oh my gosh. Do not speak evil against one another. How many times have we uttered words and wish we could retract them? How many times have we remained silent and later blamed ourselves for not even speaking up? Both words and silence are important. Common sense and good judgment should help us in deciding when to speak and when to keep silent. Jesus was very tolerant, my friends. He was very tolerant and understanding of all kinds of sinners and the sick, but he couldn't stand the hypocrites. He attacked them boldly in Matthew 23. One is a hypocrite when one lives a double life. Publicly, one appears righteous, but in private lives, in adultery, or is abusing life, or has a corrupt life in business or politics. One is a hypocrite when one speaks against the very evil one practices, or when one complains of losing money while making an unjust profit, right? Christ's words, let your word be yes. Yes, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, the eighth commandment, called clearly for the virtue of truthfulness. Our words should mirror our thoughts. Since God is truth and we are in the image of God, our speech is supposed to carry and translate that very image of God. Above all, my beloved, wrote James in his scriptural letter, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. You know, one of the things that's one of the worst things is, unfortunately, and you know, we all have this little curiosity about ourselves, about what's he doing, what's she doing? Gossip. You know, whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So don't listen to gossip and detraction either. Because by listening to this kind of thing, we encourage people to keep going in destroying others. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux goes far as to say, it is hard to say what is worse, to injure others by words or to listen to one who does. Saint Mother Teresa declared, violence of the tongue is very real, sharper than any knife, wounding and creating bitterness that only the grace of God can heal. So gossip is not to be underestimated, even when it does seem a little harmless. In reality, it really hits the very core of the person we are, and it draws a wrong picture of our essence. It hurts. Gossip leaves scars. It can destroy reputations. It embodies jealousy and hatred, right? And what happens is that it exaggerates the desire to keep on talking. Even if we accept our responsibility to not commit the sin of false witness against our neighbor, we keep gossiping over coffee, on the telephone, or during a visit. Saint Mother Teresa gave her sisters this advice. In our work, she said, we can be attracted to idle chatter. Let us be attentive not to run this danger when we visit families. We can fall into talking about this and that, forgetting the central point of our visit. We want to and we must take the peace of Christ. Let us not be vehicles of dissension. We must never consent to anybody talking to us against his neighbors. Excuse me. To avoid gossip, one should try to avoid people who gossip. Learn to mind one's own business and never allow oneself to say behind another person's back what one won't say to that person's face. Thomas A. Kempis, in his book Imitation of Christ, had this to say: if you will refrain from idle talk and idly running about, from listening to gossip and rumors, you will find ample time for meditation on good things. The word of God, my dear friends, takes sides against a lying witness who testifies falsely, and one who sows discord in a family, especially with slander. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and insincerity, envy, and slander. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And live Christ's standard. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35. Therefore, we should be very careful with our tongues. According to a Japanese proverb, the tongue, quoting, the tongue is more to be feared than the sword, unquote. So, what does a good word cost? Nothing. What is it worth? A great deal. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. A good word has the power to transform lives. Brothers and sisters, that is such a true statement because it rings really loud for me. I was a special education teacher for so many years, and seeing children come to me already beaten down, already given up on so much, underestimating their value, underestimating their potential, just given up little souls. And, you know, I did my very best to mend those little hearts, to mend them and to strengthen them, to give them what they needed to stand on their feet and to take pride in themselves and to rejoice in the celebrating of small steps of progress. And that brought me so much joy. I cannot tell you what a gift it was to be a special education teacher, working with children who were mentally done. They were so done. And they would sit and they would just give up so quickly. I remember teaching them, especially there was like, I had grades from grade 1 to grade 8 in the classroom. So I had every little kid that had a concern in their academics came to me. And I would give them one question. And I'd say, today, here's your assignment. And I would write it on the board. And they're looking at me like, well, where's the rest of the homework? Where's the rest of the work? I said, no, this is it right here. One, see if you can do that. And they would do that. They would answer the question. And I'd say, okay, just for fun, let's try one more. And one by one, brothers and sisters, it came a point where you could give them a page of work or whatever, and you would see the progress in the children. It was such a privilege to work with those children and to see them blossom and to see them confident and to see them successful. And their parents looked at them differently, you know, because I think, you know, it's like a domino effect. Parents also kind of gave up on their kids, some of them. Some, not all. Some did, you know, because they kept, you know, seeing the child frustrated. It's not easy being a parent of a child who is struggling in school. And I feel for those parents, but I also embraced our parents so that they would ask for things, for support for their children, that which they were so entitled to, you know, many different things. And I really don't want to get into my teaching career, but I just want to say that teaching children who already had large concerns, by the end of the year, those concerns were minimized big time. And I was so happy to have been a part of their journey. A good word, as I said before, has the power to transform lives, right? There is no substitute for love. No substitute for love. In a quarrel, a kind word often makes explanations which usually open and reopen old wounds unnecessary. A kind word consoles a lost soul and comforts a broken heart. It encourages a helpless individual and brings happiness to an afflicted one. Right? And I will also share with you, my mom suffered a stroke at the end of the new year. And, you know, you can see the depression set in quite clearly from her words. And it was important that my words were the exact opposite. Oh, I said, spring is coming. We're going to be outside walking. We're going to be doing this and that, you know, just excited and sloughing off the other and trying to help. You know, I for a good while, though, I would say to her, yes, it isn't easy what you're going through. I understand, you know, you have a right. I know you're tired and it, don't worry. It is normal, but it's not fun. I know you're in your pajamas all day long, every day for months. It's not fun. And, you know, just helping her to get a grip, to see the glimmer of hope, to see hope. And once the weather started changing, she also felt better. Winter's not an easy season for many people, especially an elderly person. And if you've gone through a health challenge, it just makes it ever so long. But thank goodness, brothers and sisters, seasons change here in Ontario, Canada. Thank goodness there are four seasons, and spring is, to me, one the most beautiful season of all. You know, brothers and sisters, we always need to appreciate one another. And when you say a kind word of appreciation to that person, you're encouraging them. You know, even if you're in through a drive-through and you've had to wait for quite a while for your order or something, you know, they're trying their best. They don't want you upset. They don't want to make you mad. They're not there on purpose, that they're sort of taking their sweet time. You can see people are busy, and they'll say so profusely. They'll say, oh, I'm really sorry it took so long. I'm sorry your order, you know, whatever. But they, you know, they're... And you just say, it's okay, you know, you're trying your best. And that's all they need to hear. They're sort of like a sigh of relief on their foreheads, like, thank you. You know, like, I hope you can see that I'm trying. And that's what you want to do, is you want to tell people, yeah, I hear you. I can see you're trying. And to show your appreciation to them. My goodness, it alters lives. People feel valued. They feel appreciated, cared for. They find their ways and perhaps their purposes in life. You give them wings to fly, brothers and sisters. Encouragement. My gosh, it's such an important nugget in our well-being. Encouragement can be considered as part of the apostolate of the spoken word. When we speak words of appreciation, encouragement, sympathy, the words we utter help the hearer feel better, live more fully, and be closer and closer to the word of God. Another form of appreciation is listening and being interested in other people. You know, when somebody vents to you and calls you and you say, oh no, this person, that's all they do is they vent. But you know what? You're probably maybe the only person they can vent to. And if you're very patient and gentle and you just sit and listen, you don't have to respond necessarily and offer up some wisdom to them. You know, that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to listen and let them vent. And they feel better, and then they might ask you then, and how are you doing? But usually there's a need there, and they need to vent. And it's wonderful if you are that person that they do call up, and they vent on you. They sort of talk about it, because they know they can trust you. They know you care. You're a trusted friend, brothers and sisters, and that is a beautiful virtue that you have, that patience, that understanding. And I think that's so important. So don't look at it in the terms of, oh, they're taking up so much of my time, or they continue talking. But sometimes people do that because they really, truly have no one else to talk to. And it really is very clear and obvious, especially among elderly people who do live alone and need to talk to someone. And so I know there is a phone tree in the community of Aurora, Ontario. a wonderful phone tree that they call up seniors who have responded by saying, yes, I would appreciate a call once in a while. And the phone tree call up people, call up seniors just to make sure they're doing okay. And this was quite apparent during the pandemic when everything was shut down. Everybody was in their homes, and it was really a challenging time. And I think it was extremely challenging for elderly people. So it's really important that we encourage people that, you know, and the person who listens with love can make a big difference in the life of the speaker. Listening is a ministry in of itself, right? It's one of the surest way of reaching out to others, and it can heal that person that's talking to you as well as the listener. So keep your word is important too, then you realize. By failing to make that call or to attend a meeting or to provide something that you promised, you risk making someone unhappy. So, you know, you need to be trusted. So keep your word, brothers and sisters. If you say something, then follow through. And without knowing it, you're actually hurting yourself. And others, little by little, will give up on you, because every time you make a promise, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant, keep your word. That way you show respect, people will trust you, and you will become as good as your word, right? So words can and do hurt. And it's true that aggression is usually expressed through physical assaults. More often it's expressed by words, especially verbal expression, as I said before, ridiculing, swearing, insults, attacking someone's character, even, you know, even if you teachers or parents, the way that we speak to our children, to our youth, you know, if you say something like something as horrible as you'll never amount to anything, you know, this kind of verbal aggression is really common in our society. And you just have to look at Facebook when people make comments. Oh my gosh, people who don't know each other are making such unbelievable comments that you realize that, you know what, you don't need Facebook. You don't need to look at that, because it's unbelievable how people communicate to one another, because they don't see each other. They don't know who they are. They don't put a face to it, so face to that person. So they just shoot off their mouth and say whatever comes to their mind. Yeah, it's really sad. Really, really sad, brothers and sisters. So words are powerful. So let's watch our words that we say. So kind words are worth much, and they cost nothing. So the more you speak good words, the more you will tend to change others' lives and yours in the process. And you know what? You're going to feel closer to God. And the closer you are to God, the more you'll want to practice kind things for others. So with this in mind, make a list of 10 people in your home. Make a list, or in your community, and ask yourself, do I value them? Do I sincerely believe that they are incredible? Then choose someone you know who is hurting. Name three things that cause this person to feel discouraged and perhaps even depressed. Now, what words could we say to help that person? Well, then go and say them to that person and see what happens. So, brothers and sisters, we need to express our gratitude for things we receive. There's a thank you, should be always on our lips, ready to reach out to someone. Right? Give credit to where credit is due, just because it's not, maybe you didn't have something to do with it. Try to turn the other cheek by saying a kind word to the person who has hurt you. Being aware of gossip and the dangers of it, right? And do express your joy for the joy of others. You know, besides Christmas and Easter cards, what about a birthday card, a get well card, a thinking of you, just for fun cards? What three things would you say to that someone? So, brothers and sisters, I ask you to think about those things as we are nearing the end of this journey on kindness. And I sincerely thank you so much. Thank you for being with me today. And I just want to offer up a Hail Mary for all my listeners. Whatever you're facing today, I pray that it's a great day. I pray that healing comes your way. I pray that you feel the presence of God more and more each and every day. And, you know, brothers and sisters, don't fall into the trap of negativity. Realize that God loves you and he's standing right beside you. Jesus is with you through everything. He is your trusted companion. He is your best friend. So trust in him. He will pull you through anything. Believe me, he can and he will. Open your heart and open yourself up to him and invite the Holy Spirit into your hearts. So thank you again. God bless you all so much for being with me today. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a thing.